Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman. Today we come to the third reason why Paul had a grateful heart, explained to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. The first reason was because of divine enablement, God's grace to do for Paul and within Paul that which he could never do for himself. Number two was divine opportunity, God appointing him to the ministry, God giving him an opportunity of service for the kingdom of Christ, and that became an object of Paul's undying praise. And then thirdly, Paul had a grateful heart because of God's mercy. We read all of this in 1 Timothy 1:12 through 14. Paul says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus." God's mercy. I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but God had mercy upon me. That's what Paul is saying. "I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why, unworthy, Christ in love redeemed me for his own, but I know whom I have believed." That's what Paul is saying. He was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, an injurious man, a wanton aggressor, and yet Christ had mercy upon a man like that. He was a blasphemer, according to his own testimony. The word blaspheme literally means to speak against. It often refers to violent speech. It can refer to crude, angry speech, injurious speech, stupid speech, but the idea is to speak against something in such a way as to oppose it. That's blasphemy. As the Bible uses that term, and as we normally think of it, it means to speak against God, to speak against Christ. To blaspheme is to rail against God, usually in the most vile language. Cursing, we generally put in the category of blasphemy. To curse God, to cuss, as we sometimes call it in our vernacular language. To use God's name in vain, in an injurious way, in a dishonoring way. But any time we speak against God, or against the truth that he has revealed, we are blaspheming. And so it doesn't always sound like violent, angry, crude, cursing speech. Sometimes it can be in the most kind, winsome, soft-spoken tones, like Satan in the garden when he started raising doubts to Eve about the character and promises of God. Has God really said? Is that what God really means? If God had really intended to do you good, would he have withheld this from you? Don't you think that God really wants to keep you from knowing certain things? That God is afraid that you might know him, or you might know something that is equal to what he knows, and in sly ways, questioning the goodness, the wisdom, the character of God, and actually blaspheming, that is, speaking against God. That's what he was doing. To blaspheme God is to violate the first table of the law. As you know, the Ten Commandments are divided into two tables, and the first table has to do with our relationship with God. Have no other gods before me. Don't make any graven image. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. That ought to strike fear into the hearts of some people. The Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Are you thinking about that, mister, when you talk the way you do? When you use the language you do? The cursing, vile, blasphemous language? Are you remembering that God said, I will not hold him guiltless who takes my name in vain? But of course, again, taking God's name in vain is more than cursing God. To use God's name in a way that actually undermines his character and his revelation is to take his name in vain. Or to use God's name for counterfeit purposes. To use God's name to advance your own cause under the guise of serving God. To identify yourself as a Christian and as a worker, a minister or a worker in the church is to take God's name in vain if you're not sincere in what you're doing. If you're doing that for self-seeking purposes, to try to advance your own cause, to promote yourself in some way, in your own welfare, that's to use God's name injuriously. You're using God's name rather than honoring and exalting God's name. That's blasphemy. That's taking God's name in vain. Paul said, that's what I was before I met Christ on the Damascus Road. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer. I spoke against God. Well, Paul, I thought you were a Pharisee. I thought you spoke for God. I thought you championed God. I thought you were a fervent religious man. I thought you honored the God of the covenant, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When did you speak against God? When I spoke against Christ? When I worked against and spoke against his people? When I told people that Jesus Christ was an imposter, that was blasphemy, I was speaking against God? Because now I know that Christ is God. When I said that followers of Jesus Christ are idiots and are stupid people and that they need to be stopped and they need to be persecuted and they need to be contained, they need to be removed from society for their own good and for the good of society. When I said these things, I was blaspheming because I was speaking against Christ. And Christ being God, I was speaking against God. That's blasphemy. That's what I was. I was a blasphemer. Paul, did you know that you were a blasphemer when you were a blasphemer? No, I didn't know it. But I was. I didn't know it. He goes on to say that, doesn't he? I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I wasn't deliberately blaspheming God, but nevertheless, I was blaspheming God. I thought about that not too many weeks ago when there was a letter to the editor in our Burlington paper where somebody who obviously is very confused and very propagandized by false religion wrote in a letter saying that Christ, Jesus Christ, is not God. If he was, that means he was praying to himself and so forth and so on. Just a lot of nonsense that is put forward by cults and those who deny the deity of Christ. I'm sure this man was doing it sincerely. He was doing it in unbelief. But nevertheless, he was blaspheming God. He was blaspheming God. He was speaking against the God of the Bible, even though he thought he was upholding the truth of the God of the Bible, just like Saul was before his conversion. I pray that God will have mercy upon that man, just like he had mercy upon Saul of Tarsus. If God has mercy upon him, his eyes will be opened and he will come to realize that the very one that he was blaspheming is the one who died that sinners like himself might be redeemed. Paul was a blasphemer. Paul, secondly, was a persecutor. He went about doing everything he could to injure followers of Jesus Christ. He persecuted them. He injured them. This made him a violator of the second table of the law, which has to do with man's relationship to man. He violated the first table of the law with his blasphemy, speaking against God. He violated the second table of the law in the way that he mistreated the people of God, persecuting them at every opportunity, injuring them, hurting them, deliberately so, but again, mistakenly so. He was doing it on purpose. He knew what he was doing. That is, he knew he was injuring followers of Jesus Christ. But what he didn't know was that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ of God. He didn't think so. He did that ignorantly and in unbelief. But nevertheless, he was a persecutor. He was guilty of blaspheming God. He was guilty of persecuting and deliberately harming innocent people whose only crime was to believe that Jesus is the Christ. And he was an insolent man, an aggressor, a violent man, a violent aggressor are various ways that this word can be translated. He was an injurious man, is the way I think one translation puts it. He did everything he can, as we've already seen, to injure the cause of Christ and the followers of Christ. Whatever he could do. And he did it with zeal. He did it with the greatest of enthusiasm, the greatest of energy. If you were evaluating Saul on the basis of sincerity and of commitment to a cause that he fervently believed in, you would have had to have given him the highest possible marks. A++++. But he was dead wrong. I think about millions of people in our world today who seem set on destroying every religion except their own as followers of Allah, and they are convinced that Allah, the one they think is God, is honored by their using terror and violence in order to establish his superiority above the religions of the world, to make him the one God who is universally worshipped. And they are absolutely sincere in this. They believe what they're doing beyond all shadow of a doubt, but they are absolutely wrong, just like Saul was. How about you? Have you been guilty of these things or things that are worse? God is a merciful God. Go to him and plead for his mercy. Until tomorrow, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.